I got reverse trolled by my friend because I did too good a job convincing him that Dvorak was the superior layout, mm-hmm. that he actually adopted it, and now I can't use his computer anymore.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vince Stone here at LGC Actual. I'll be switching the bits, trying to keep track of everything, pushing all the buttons. Sometimes things will explode. Always trying out new stuff. And that sound was one Jordan Swong. Hello, Jordan Swong.
Hello, Vince Stone.
And that infinite void of perpetual silence is one Pedro Mateus. Yeah, it screams internally.
He's trapped in the Phantom Zone forever.
And together with you, Shadow Realm Dynamic, helping us for him. You know him, you love him. Toucane, Cocaine, Voltron. So, we were talking about eggs just a minute ago, and that reminded me, earlier this week, I stabbed myself with an egg.
You stabbed yourself with an egg. Do tell.
I quit being helpful, and I was genuinely trying to be helpful. It's not often I get to peel eggs.
Doing hard-boiled?
Hard-boiled eggs. I was at a friend's house, and she was doing deviled eggs or something like that for a thing at work. And I'm like, I want to play. So, and I mangled some eggs, fair enough. But, yeah, I the shell stabbed me.
Ah.
And I was like, this is some bullshit. I had to pull a piece of egg out of my thumb. Did I learn anything? Did I slow down? Nay, I just went right back to it.
So, excellent.
Yeah. Be careful. So we're currently recording on an Amazon warehouse NVMe drive.
Ooh, living dangerously, are we?
I still want that Amazon Basics like 4090, man. Yeah, I want them to do that.
Right.
The Amazon Basics GPU, absolutely, yes.
Dude, let's be perfectly real. We'd all buy that in a minute. This was, because we were talking about this in the pre-super shows, and here's a plug. Go back and listen to that if you're a patron. The NVMe drives are just ridiculously cheap. We're not talking like, you know, from manufacturers that with names that you cannot announce. Like Samsung drives. This is a 970 Evo Pro, 2 terabyte, $86. I'm like, you know what? I need another one of those. Because I know they work, because what's it?
Go on. You remember everything that every single one of those names got you. Yes.
Unoid got it. I'm reading. I'm sentimental and shit like that. It just took me a minute because I'm old. I've been using that drive, hammered on it, works great, and it's a Gen 3. It's like $80. Let's just buy another one. Then Amazon's like, you won't buy a used one? I'm like, not from like John or somebody. He's like, no, Amazon Warehouse. We got you covered, man. Warranty and everything. $63 for a 2 terabyte NVMe drive.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It replaced
for a little stick of gum, some juicy fruit.
Right? Yeah. Well, it replaced this. And this is a very classic drive. This started like our Linux Gamecast journey with this guy here. And we were talking about that. Okay, do you have a modern Kingston drive? If you bought one, because you might have, because they're super cheap. This is a 240 gig. I know for a fact, because all these boxes have modern versions of this drive.
I have the 480 gig version in my box.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can get the like $15-$20. Those are just made out of plastic. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought about it. I'd never pulled this drive out. It's been years and years. This thing is cold rolled steel, man. It's not even aluminum. Like, this thing, you could brain somebody with one of these. Pick this up. This was like back when Newegg, before they went evil. They were on sale for like $90, and it was an amazing deal. It was one of those deals where you wake up and you go, well, I guess I'm buying an SSD drive this morning.
You got those to replace those like old OCZ ones, right? The Evos?
Oh, I was still running. Those for recording. This was just abstract storage. Like, what, another 204 for $90? Are you kidding? Of course. But the reason I'm even bringing any of this up is this was the first time, this last NVMe drive, was the first time in my life where I had to buy one of these.
Hey, I have one of those.
What is this? Well, it holds NVMe drives because I now have one with nothing. Now, I've had spare NVMe drives, but I was like, oh, that's going to go in this or that's going to go in that. I have no place to put this 960 Evo, but this one, well, do you have a rubber O-ring around yours, Pedro?
Yes. It has the rubbery bits.
See, mine's NVMe only, though.
I'm not this cool. One does, I don't have that.
SD cards and USB flash drives.
I just have a notebook. I'm not cool. You guys, I don't have books.
That's what I get. This is like $12 or $13. You can find them on Amazon. I'm sure they're all the same yes. thing. This is the JJC. It's on our like studio equipment thing. I put it up there. I'm like, yay! No, because we got these drives. What do you do with them? You just toss them in a drawer somewhere, right? Stack them on a desk. Mm. These little sticks of gum. You gotta.
You have to be careful with them. Yes. Mm.
It's not, you don't have to be quite as careful as like micro SD cards, because like you can't lose these as easily.
No,
like,
I keep those under the stove.
Yeah. Under the monitor stand, there's an entire.
Fortunately, like, micro SD cards, at least in the sizes I buy them, that are small enough to be like, and that's where they're going to stay. I'm just going to go to the sleeve I have and get another one out.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's like a 2 terabyte micro SD card, then you're like. Time to
you know
pull
we need to clean behind this. Yeah, right. I take that back. That's after half a day with like a clothes hanger or something. Trying. To,
yeah. You try and find the longest thing. Maybe daisy chain a couple of them. Get the hook.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man, Jordan is a. Oh man, I did tune in a little bit. Jordan and Empty are doing a Baldur's Gate 3 multiplayer thing. Watching them like work out because there was a glowing. Axe on top of a building and Empty stepped in a trap or something.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Way over my head what you guys are like. How does that even work? Do you each have like a couple of characters to control?
Yeah. So you can have up to 4 people in the room. Each person can have 1 character, or if you have less, then you can assign an NPC to whoever. So we have them doing 2x2. But I actually finished the game yesterday, not Baldur's Gate, but I've been going through Serious Sam 4 with a friend, Stryker, in Chat Realm. He's an old buddy of mine. We've been making it a point to go through all the Serious Sam games because we've been doing that since we were very, very wee. Finally got through 4, finished it off.
Well, Sam, like, I played like maybe the 5, Arthur got me a copy of that forever ago.
Yeah.
I started it up and I'm like, eventually it just seemed like it was like, oh, this is like more Serious Sam 3, which isn't a bad thing.
So it's not, though, because like Serious Sam 3 had like parkour and stuff. There's like, and like a lot of the mechanical improvements from 3 didn't necessarily make it into 4. Mm. They have like builds, but the builds suck because it's either dual wielding or being able to ride monsters.
So this is pretty much more just like riding a Roomba with a sex toy on it, right?
Dude, if you can get on the werebull, you last like 3 seconds on it because then it just dies. It's like the worst thing ever. But you can respec, and I switch back to the dual pew pews. Mm-hmm. But dear lord, at the end of that literally that game becomes like you just die and you die and you die, and your progression is like try and get a couple inches further when you respawn so you can fucking get to the next checkpoint. Because when they say there's like 100,000 enemies on screen, they're not fucking around. The problem is. There's 100,000 enemies on screen, and you gotta deal with them all.
I think everybody remembers that. Like, remember the first time you played Serious Sam the original, and you were the first time you were in the desert, and you're like,
But honestly, I think 4. I would put 3 over 4. Honestly, the level design in 4 really falls apart near the end when it's just like these big open fields, and you just get fucking lost because like. You need room for the 100,000 enemies, then also and also the rest of the game. So like, it kind of falls apart.
I'm sure it managed to deliver just chaos, though, right?
Oh, it was complete chaos. And at the end, you have to like climb up on this bad guy and like tweak his nipples and like shove C4 up his ass. It's the whole thing. But yeah, no. So I guess now the next one on the docket is Siberius Mayhem.
I don't even know what that is.
They had like they had a one that takes place in like a snow level or something. They released it a while ago. Okay. I have no idea. But yeah.
Pedro,
what about you, Pedro? I'm done talking.
I too finished the video game this week that I had started back in March, and I finally finished my solo playthrough in Supernova difficulty of Outer Worlds Space Earth's Choice Edition. Which turned out to be a lot easier because one of the things they changed in the Spacer's Choice Edition was they removed the level cap, so you can go as high as you want. If you want to just keep farming, you can keep farming. And you become basically you can have all the perks, you can have all the skills, so it becomes very, very easy very, very quickly. But yeah, it's that's wrapped up. Now I can go and finish Quake 2 Requacked.
Do we like that in games, like when you just get so ridiculously OP by the end of them that there's just like zero challenge, but the whole like I'm just here to wreck shit kicks in. That's a hard balance to hit because sometimes it will get boring. You're like, well, this is no fun anymore.
Yeah, I think really it's a pacing thing because once you really earn that, like being able to just smack everything after struggling through it, it feels really good for the back couple levels. Just be like,
I will always
you die and yeah,
platinum, like all the credit in the world for like the sync that they've done with in Bayonetta. Like when you're going up the tower to like get to the last boss, there's some baddies that you run into pretty regularly, but you're just racking the snot out of these things now. And you're like, I remember the first time I ran into one, I spent 30 minutes trying to kill one. And you just start, you wreck, like, I think there's like three or four at you at one time. You get done, then you get an achievement. It just says feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Once you have all the shit unlocked, Baldur's Gate 3 has a lot of that too, where like you're struggling a bit and then you unlock that extra attack or you unlock like third level spells and then you're just like, fireball and my problem solved. But again, like a good paced games like let you have that for a little bit and then it's like, oh, now you have to actually try again.
Or you had what was it, the Castlevania, what was it,
Lords of Shadow,
the Symphony of the Night, the one where you start off like the PlayStation one
with everything.
And you just start like off with everything
and then like, death comes and takes it away.
You're like, oh, and then I quit playing.
The first Assassin's Creed game did that too. I don't like that. I don't like being like told, given like a real fun character to play and then be like, okay, now you gotta wait till the end of the game to actually have fun with this. It's kind of shitty.
Even then though, I mean, that's such a hard balance to strike, isn't it? Because if you get everything at the beginning, sometimes you just get bored and I don't know. Anyway, what's the difficulty curve going to be on the horse this week?
I mean, the difficulty curve on the horse is flat because it's just a puddle on the ground. It's the steam. Woo! It's shocking. I just finished Disenchanted 2.
I'm surprised, Pedro, that you have this story.
Yeah. I got a DualShock here. It's not the only one with the PlayStation controller. Valve is adding some new stuff in October, specifically the ability to filter games based on controller support. And the first class controllers.
Everyone, Pedro's got two.
Oh, so
actually,
pro.
I have three, but I only have two hands, so fuck you.
Put one in your mouth and just keep it there for the rest of the podcast. Valve wants you to be able to search for games in Steam based on controller support. There's a lot of PlayStation games now on Steam that have that take advantage of the features within the DualShock and DualSense controllers. So they're adding a new questionnaire for the Steamworks devs to say what kind of controller you have, and soon you'll be able to filter based on DualShock support. And as a DualShock user, I'm really excited about this because it can be kind of hit or miss in DualShock land. Sometimes you got to play like the button translation game in your head. Sometimes it's like a in-game option that you can switch. Sometimes Steam input plays nice with it. Sometimes it doesn't. It's kind of a bit of a shit show. So having a way to make that more consistent is going to be really, really good. And especially it's going to be a thing where you don't get the rude awakening of, oh, this shit doesn't work with my controller. Once you actually boot up the game, you get a little bit of pre-warning there.
Yeah, it is a very good idea because compared to like the typical, Xbox controllers, I couldn't remember the name of the console. The DualShock and the DualSense have gyros, they have the touchpad, which, yes, you can use it as a mouse, but that's, like, the least that they can do. You can do, like, proper gestures and everything on the touchpad, and there are games that make use of it. You have the light bars, and especially on the DualSense, you have the haptic feedback, like the adaptive triggers, and the haptic vibration, and all that. So
the speaker in the controller, there's a lot of games that do stuff.
The speaker in the controller. And there's a lot of games, especially games that were at one point PlayStation exclusives, that already have that stuff built in that they could just use if people were aware that they were even there, because most people aren't. So this is good. This is very good. If you clearly label the name as the game as supporting that functionality, maybe there won't be as many refunds either, because people only have that one controller. They don't have seven.
You know, for me, I'm just thinking about all this. I'm like, you know, it supports what it supports. I'm very flexible. I'll play with the Xbox S or the PS4 controller. It just depends. But the only thing I'm reading when I see this is we're going to see like partial DualShock support.
in the Steam factoids, we're still learning about this game. Maybe. Mm-hmm. maybe it'll work with your DualShock.
And I know Pedro's explained to me like the extra stuff. Like, how much is that controller again?
The DualSense is £50, so probably like $60 around there.
Extra mark. That's the new PS5 one.
That's the base PS5 one. If you want to get the like the turbo DualSense with the replaceable, with the replaceable analog sticks and D pads and everything else, that one is $200.
Does it come with a spoiler?
Or you could get the PlayStation Wii U thing.
Oh yeah, you can get that for $200.
Yeah, so you know.
Oh man, speaking of that thing, better work as a controller.
Oh man, wouldn't that be dope?
I mean, it is a controller with a screen in the middle, that's it.
It would be dope as hell if Steam Input could actually hook into that display, or you could actually do some shit with that on Linux. That would be really cool, actually.
That would be. Oh man.
Install Steam Link on the PlayStation U.
Or even just use it as like an input device or some shit, yeah.
Way too busy with our new Ampere Ultra dev platforms. We all want one of these.
Not for that price. No.
Well, okay, fine. How about this price? Is that better? Are you happy now?
I want it for that price. I don't want to pay that price. I mean, someone else can pay that for me.
You know what? For 128 core CPU with a lot of the gigabytes of the DDR4 and
6x16, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. We get up to five. You know what? That's still not a bad price. $5,000. So what makes this special? This is the Ampere Ultra. It's a super ARM chip. You know, typically you're going to be seeing these in servers, but this is a nice little desktop unit that you can buy to do platform stuff. A couple of YouTubers have gotten hold of them. It's water cooled. And the reason we're talking about it is because on their page, they're like, yo, you want to play some Steam on this thing? Yes, I do. Because let's face it, gaming on x86, people, that is so 2023, 10? Yeah, current year.
2010, yeah, right.
So, I mean, if you've been jealous about all the hoops that current M1, M2 Mac users are having to jump through in order to play their x86 games, now you can join in the fun yourself. So, all you need is that, you know, basic 2.6K, you know, basic base unit. You don't need 128 core. You need some Proton. And you need a little box 86, and you can kind of play Steam. I have to assume. They say you can. They say everything's gravy on this. And this has been done with an NVIDIA RTX 4080. That's right. NVIDIA's got ARM drivers, by the way, if you're curious, even for their new cards.
They do. It's on that download page, and it's really mm-hmm. weird. I'm like, one day I'll have a computer where I can install those from the run file.
Right. I mean, it is kind of weird, man. There's a whole lot of instructions and a whole lot of not results with this, which is always kind of surprising when you see something like that. But man, Ampere, send me one of these, because like a lot of people I've seen, I went and looked at the YouTube videos. They're like, let's run Windows on it. And then they pop the glue stick back in their mouth. You guys got this far. I have the know-how and technology to actually make a video on Linux showing this off. All right? Call me. And I want to play one. I want to play one, man.
Oh, yeah. They're cool little machines. Or big machines. I mean, it's not very little.
My question is, why are you using Box 86 64? No, it's not. Because you're just making your job harder for yourself. Fex is in a much better position when it comes to, you know, running Steam, as in it can actually do it and it can run Proton. The performance is still a bit iffy, but then again, so is the performance on Box 86.
It's a little older though, isn't it? Like,
Box 86 has been around for longer. But yeah, the thing,
that's probably why.
Yeah, the thing with Box 86 is it only runs 32-bit applications, and Box 64 only runs 64-bit applications. In a mixed environment like Steam and video games, use FEX, please. God.
Or at least well, try. I mean, we don't know. Like, for all we know, is like on their whatever reason, their architecture. There's like, nah, just like both.
Well, yeah, yeah, and that's the other thing too. When you're dealing with like embedded hardware like this, there's a lot of weird like low level platform stuff, and maybe whoever was working on it is just like, Box 86 is the one I know, so that's the one I'm gonna get it working with, as opposed to having to pivot to Vex. I know, Pedro, if you were in charge of the world, everything would be sensitive.
See, and we'd get the maniacal laughter too. It'd be brilliant. It'd be great. Yeah. You'd be full of smiles 24/7. Now, you'd really want to think, my first thought was like, man, can you even deliver non-x86 with Steam? And, you know, you're like, you brought up the M series, which, you know, I was like, okay, how many native games are there for the ARM-based Macs, which is this more or less than we were thinking here?
26? I would have thought that would have... So this is M1 and N-Rosetta supported. A little lower than I would have thought. I would have thought it would maybe be like closer to like 50.
Native. Straight up, yeah. Native.
I would have expected closer to like 50, but like, yeah, it still double digits, right? Like, but the one thing I'm interested in is... Because you bring up a valid point, like, how do they have, like, architecture separation or not? Because with x86, like, you would just ship both binaries. And if you are on a 32-bit machine, you use the 32-bit binary, and if you're on a 64-bit, you use a 64-bit binary. In OS X, I don't really know how that works. I remember when I was doing app builds for iOS, when they just started introducing the 64-bit ARM iPhones, they were doing that all in FAT binaries. So it would be one binary that has both the 64-bit and 32-bit code in it at the same time. So I don't know how they pull that off. Maybe because I do know Apple has like some universal app image thing, but
I don't know. I mean, Apple's is like, this is where it's going to be interesting when we start seeing more adoption on the desktop with ARM, because things like that need to get worked out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm sure Unity and Unreal Engine's just chomping at the bit to have that as a native export. But probably not.
They might even be able to use an Allen key wrench to assemble all of it.
IKEA.
Yeah, we've got to talk about new games coming out. One of them, which is I think caught all of our attention, is called Kallax. It is IKEA the game. It is a multiplayer game in which you attempt to assemble furniture, but only one person can read the instructions. And has to instruct the other people. And then if one person is not cooperating, you can throw them into space! Because, you know, all IKEA furniture assembly results in murder, at least in my house. The level select, though, that better be wandering through a giant maze of furniture and home crap and trying to figure out, do I need to buy another two giant aluminum bowls? They're really convenient to have around the house, but I sort of came here to look. I didn't come here to buy anything.
I don't know, man. Like, I had no idea. Like, I don't go to IKEA enough to even know what the hell like Kallax is. And like, I did some Googling on them. Like, oh, I kind of had one of those moments. No, it's I see this and like, this damn well better have like a food court where you can get those meatballs, space balls, or whatever you want to call
them. Yes, they got the vegan ones now too.
The thing that got my attention, though, I mean, it supports two to six players. Oh, I'm like, all right, online, maybe. I don't know. Maybe there is a demo, though. Wait, is there a demo?
No, there is no demo. No. It is online.
Released it.
Okay.
It is online co-op, but no demo.
Gentlemen, I'm watching the trailer, and I've watched trailer one, trailer two, and I'm still not 100% on what I'm supposed to be doing here. I'm saying, guys, put out a demo. Let people play with this, because I'm not spending any money to find out what the game's about, because it's not being conveyed very well.
With those 750 Ti. That's a very, very conservative recommendation.
I mean, for this game, I don't think it's going to be that.
An RX 550.
Yeah. Those two are matched. Yes.
Yeah. It's like a 2.5D game. I think it's fine.
I think it'll be all right. But again, I understand the concept. You've conveyed like, yes, but how does that work out? Please put out a demo for this for your own good, not just for us. Now, up next is a game that we have kind of kept an eye on and thought about for a long, long time. Nope. Smells like rubber. I'd say it's in the wrong thing.
Yes. You added this little.
Yeah, I did. I didn't put it in my tabs, Pedro. How come you didn't correct me?
Why didn't you take over my body and direct my hand to click on the link?
Boom. Here we go. This is something I was like looking for something to play in the after shows and like right in the show. So we all like, I don't even necessarily like it, but I mean, it's silly enough is like everyone says Micro Machine Racing, right? When you think about these types of games. And that's what this is. And we're always looking for something with online multiplayer because the ratio of silly fun racing games to online multiplayer is completely out of whack. Like I cannot imagine thinking about doing any type of like racing game and not having online multiplayer as like step one. So, you know, it's not forklifts. It's not forklifts, but it looks all right. We might try it out in the after shows. And this is available as a demo. So it's something to play around with. And
it's got a Linux demo too.
Right. PvP, online co-op, couch co-op. And it looks like silly fun. Like, you know, explosives.
Cel-shaded voxel Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it could be, I don't know. We might find out. Let me see. What does it take to run? Because this, one of the things, though, has me a little worried is I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a 3080 with 4 gigs of RAM. I didn't know NVIDIA released the 3080 FU edition.
But here's the thing. If you got that 970, it's not going to hit in that 3.5 gig memory. No.
Yeah, you're not going to run into the disabled ROP. You only need 2 gigs out of your 970.
What do we think about the AMD cards that get released this week? Is anybody excited about those?
You know what? They're in the realm of affordability. But I don't have the money now. Oh, well, you know, like come October, we'll see what the pricing looks like because AMD likes to fuck around with their pricing quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
and
melt the early adopters in that first month. They're like, jabate.
Yeah, and then like Nvidia will always like bring some stuff down, or there might be like those 3080s might finally come down in price because those are still really good cards.
They're well, I have a 4070, like I'm watching it, like poke at it, like do something because I'm not buying it. That like $399 maybe, yeah. But yeah, Nvidia's
$899 Canadian. That RX 7800 XT is $699 Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
and yeah, I know. Yeah. There's like, you know, the 6700 XT last gen is like, that's still a great card. But like, if you're buying a new card right now, you want the AV1.
You might as well. You might as well. If you're really like, honestly, if you're really budget restricted, then yeah, go for last gen.
But if you need a card, which is different than like.
I want.
Yeah, that's like a little bit of an upgrade.
I was really happy because Gamers Access did the reviews for both the 7800 and the 7700.
Hang on, let me set the timer here to see if somebody's watching. Okay.
And I was looking at the graphs when they showed the graphs of the the benchmark results. And every single graph is like, oh, the 7700 is like within 5 to 10% of the 6700.
Yeah. NVIDIA, AMD is doing the exact same shit NVIDIA did.
Like, marginal.
We're making cards that compete against last gen's products. Give us more money.
Yeah.
I'm happy with my purchase.
But hey.
But Starfield, bro.
Yeah, we'll see. When I have time to actually get into Starfield, we'll see how well that runs.
And then there's by the time by the time that rolls around, the modders will have cracked it, and like they'll be able to
probably
of, like,
be running
mods.
Properly. Yeah,
yeah. Like launch era for Bethesda games is always like, nah. Wait for the modders to take a crack at it, man. Like it'll be way better.
I kind of had like one of those hot take moments because a modder added DLSS support to it. Went through and like get all that, and he's like, yeah,
if you put DRM on it and someone pirated it,
he was like, yeah, if you want it, it's like $5. And like, yeah, I fucking feel that because that's not like homeboy didn't just like open a program and click a goddamn button, you know. I'm like, $5, I'm like, sure, all right. And then people just watching the outrage, like, how dare somebody charge money for a mod.
How dare people when expect that money for their
Bethesda
work?
And it's not inside the creator's club, like Skyrim and Fallout 4 do?
I don't know.
They sell mods. That's what they do.
Like, they just don't.
Yeah, Bethesda don't get a cut.
Yeah. Who knows? All right, now let's talk about what I was alluding to.
Yes. The Skullgirls. Or just Skullgirls, because that's the actual name of the game. It has a bit of a sordid history in more ways than one, but it's still being actively maintained, and the developers have released a roadmap of sorts. The big title is When's Marie? So Marie, if you played the story mode, she's the Skullgirl. She's the last character that you need to fight. And yeah, she's becoming a playable character. They say that first it's going to be Skullgirls Mobile. They're going to release this, the mobile version. Then there will be a playable alpha for the Marie character. And then, of course, there will be the full release, like they've done with the previous three characters that they've already released, kind of like that. So it is... I'm looking forward to it. I genuinely didn't think that they were ever going to release Marie as a playable character, just because when you do fight her as the last boss, she's massively overpowered. So, yeah.
Well, don't worry. They just nerfed it. They had some Akuma level nerfs on it.
Yeah, it's some Shao Kahn shit where you fight him. You fight him with the busted AI, and then you fight with him, and you're like, oh. Can't do any of this stuff. But your new maid waifu, she's dropping probably sometime in early 2024. They're hoping for end of 2023, but we all know that's not gonna happen. They are doing the interesting thing about mobile first, though, because they were talking about the development cycle. The mobile version is like a significantly more cut down version of the game, so it takes a lot less effort to get things up and running in terms of animations. So this is where they can release something and then iterate on it. But once that final update does come out, the other thing they're adding, which I think is a nice touch, is they're adding all full voice acting for all the story characters, which is before it was just like right? Like, so now you actually get some humans reading words and not emoting in anime noises.
So when we think about like gaming like that, your first thought is like mobile gaming, like competitive fighting mobile gaming. And here's something that I discovered. I was watching Pinkerella was doing a stream from PAX. In Seattle, last week, they had an entire stage dedicated to competitive online mobile gaming. They were playing shooty pew pew games competitively, tournament style, like big stage, big arena.
PUBG and Forkknife are on mobile, technically.
So, like, you had the competitors up there on their podiums holding.
That's not very ergonomic, but I wonder what you would need to do. Cause like if you look at like StarCraft tournaments, like if you take away all the flashing lights, it's just like 12 nerds sitting in their computers in like two parallel lines going right. Like, so how do you goose that up? How do you make that more engaging?
I just couldn't imagine playing an FPS on a touchscreen. No more than I can imagine playing a competitive fighting game on a touchscreen.
I mean, fair,
I can sort of see if you're allowed to pair your Bluetooth controller to your phone and just use that.
Nope.
No. Hey, listen, we're old. We don't get it. It's the children who are wrong, right?
Right.
Or it's more of parents will buy a phone for the child, so the child, that will be their computer, because chances are that their computer, actual computer, is a laptop that they got from school five years ago.
You make do with what you have. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why you see a bunch of people asking questions like, how do I play the games on the Chromebook? How do I do this? Mm-hmm. And hey, that gets you interested. You're like, how could I hack around the limitations? And I can go for it.
Yes. You know, the limitations are a very good way to,
I guess it's also harder to like install an aimbot on your iPhone.
Yes. Yeah.
One would hope.
So if you have a camera gimbal, for example, and you get an adapter to put your phone on, does that count? You wave the gimbal around and the auto stabilization that sort of keeps everything lined up.
I don't know, old man. Maybe. Just, yeah, just say, use what you get. I saw somebody poo-pooing some kids on R Linux. They're like, why is it's Backtrack Linux now?
Mm, yeah, Backtrack.
I'm like, why is that so popular?
Kali.
Why is that so popular with new Linux users? And they're like, well, it's a bunch of dumb kids being script kiddies. I'm like, yeah, that's how a lot of security experts start, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's script kiddies. At least they're interested in trying to do some shit. Yeah, you know what? They're hoping to find a big hack my neighbor's Wi-Fi button, but some are still going to power on through that, learn about rainbow tables. Just saying.
So Summer may not have a powerful enough GPU to run rainbow tables, but one
No.
And that's when larceny comes in.
Yeah, and that's when you have a real incentive to start cracking those Wi-Fi networks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Linux leads to jail. That's, yes.
Linux leads to five people dead at a shootout at a Wendy's.
No, that was Windows ME.
Windows ME.
Windows.
Wendy-dos. All right.
Back to AMD. Okay.
Yes. We did mention the new cards coming out. This isn't about the 7700 or the 7800
necessarily. This isn't about Steam anymore either. This is the new section, yes. By the way.
This is very much about RDNA 3, yes, so it does technically mean the 7800, the 77, the 76, and the 79 XT and the XTX, which will soon be able to have acoustic limit RPM threshold control, acoustic target RPM threshold control, fan curve, fan minimum PWM control, and fan target temperature available directly from the kernel driver. Which is good. It's very good. The acoustic limit and RPM target, those are new. I'd say the fan curve and minimum speed you could already manage with Mesa and Core Control. But yeah, no, the acoustic limit's very, very welcome. Especially if you have a 6700 XT like me, the Sapphire Pulse Edition, which only has two fans. And those fans can get loud. So if you say, nah, you just go up to this noise and just crash the game if, because that's usually what happens, if you can't go above that. But yeah, the limitation is very much to the 7000 series, which is a big old fuck you from the company that only had the 7600 and the 7900s until this week. So,
yeah, this is something like, you'd think you'd want this on the Steam Deck, right? Like, yeah. Somewhere where you can more precisely control fan and temperature and all that other crap. So this being RDNA 3 only is it's kind of a little poo-poo, as Pedro alludes. Hopefully this is just the initial work and someone can get this backported, because having that functionality, I don't think there's anything in the new architecture that actually enables this. I think this is just some driver bits that they have decided to turn on.
They clearly say today's update shows another example of how AMD is dedicated to Linux, to which, yes, Dak, I saw you typed out what is in my brain. I was like, cool, this is like what NVIDIA has been doing for the past 20 years.
Yeah, they're catching up.
Yeah, on the Linux desktop.
At least,
Linus? Pedro knows. As a former filthy NVIDIA user, Pedro, you're like, yeah.
Yes. But at least they're making this available on the open source side of things, unlike NVIDIA. So that's good. That's very good. Again, I'm not complaining about more functionality being exposed. I'm just complaining about it being restricted to the 7000 series. The fuck?
Sounds like somebody with 6000 series. I don't know.
Yes.
Someone's mad.
Consume. Obey.
I will not consume.
you can get some RDNA 3 going. Oh, God damn it. I forgot to get the floppy thing.
You better hurry up, because I'm going to fill some time. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe you like handheld gaming. Pedro, do you have any handheld gaming devices?
Yeah, no, I got one sitting right in front of me. Here you go.
Look at that. Yep,
he's good. Deck.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, something's missing with modern handheld gaming devices. That's right, kids. A shell.
That's a laptop.
No, shut up. That's a clamshell design, like it's, on a mobile a device, because that's how they should all be made. And except for that keyboard. What are we talking about? Let's scroll back up. This is the Aya Neo Flip, a handheld gaming PC. Again, with a clamshell. The idea even from way back in the day, with like flip phones, you know, because we started out with candy bar phones. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to get scratched. And flip phones, like, oh, cool. They were like, nope, let's go back. And Jordan, they kind of did the same thing with gaming handhelds, didn't they?
They did. They were candy bars. And then Nintendo had this DS. It was a cool little idea. It has two screens. This is my OG one. But it had a clamshell design. It was nice. You kept both screens nice and safe.
When you said floppy, I thought it was going to be like hanging
much on. Floppier.
It's like pretty floppy.
One hinge, maybe just one wire holding it on.
Honestly, it's not stable. But minor jerks, especially while you're playing, will cause it to like flip up. But that's what I mean. Is like the first thing when I see these clamshell designs is, how are the hinges? Because like after some generous use, they can kind of get a little crappy and a little tight. And they're not going to stay at the right angle necessarily you want to be at to get the optimum viewing angles. But like the hardware on here is decent. It's that 70 whatever the other handhelds.
7840U. Yes.
Yeah. 7040U is like the. Yeah, pretty much assume that that's what's going to be powering it.
It's so, in the ROG Ally and the Lenovo Legion. Yeah,
the first few minutes seeing that keyboard, I just had a good laugh. I'm like, nope, that's not possible. Like, I would need a pointing device made out of small pointing device.
Yeah, that doesn't look super comfortable. That recessed lip doesn't look comfortable either. It looks like it'll cut the circulation off on your thumbs.
It looks very similar to the original GPD Win and the GPD Win 2. It also looks very similar to the Open Pandora, the Dragon, if you remember that. It's,
That's shipping eventually, right?
It has shipped. Okay. It has officially shipped.
So here's what I want. Here's like our first bit of feedback. Leave a comment, send in some hate mail for the show next week. Would you buy a modern gaming handset that had a clamshell? Like, is that something that you would seriously, not just like, yeah, sure, whatever, Ben, but like, why would you? Or why are you glad that is just gone? You know, because the new Switch isn't going to be clamshell. We're not going to get a Clam Deck.
DS2.
No. Pedro.
Valve just released a Steam laptop.
They can, Pedro, because they're busy releasing the full screen keyboard for the Steam Deck. See, it's a much beautiful. Better gaming. Look at that. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love it.
You have much battery life, you said?
Yeah. I like the first lines. Like, the developer says it's not practical in any way. I'd agree.
It's,
yes.
It's perfect if you're doing a blindfolded speedrun of Amnesia, The Dark Descent. You just have your keyboard there, and you can just try to play
it. You spill some water on it. Shit gets real interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Dance buggies.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some advantages to the clamshell design. Like, you have more room to like cram stuff near the monitor, get more space constraints.
I'm just thinking about tossing it in a bag.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
there's not the okay, let's make sure it's a this.
There is certainly very much with the Steam Deck. I'm going to put this away in its case, and I'm going to close the lid and zip it up.
There's something to be said about having a case for something, right? Then you just toss it in a drawer and be done with it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, like, the clamshell isn't a bad design. Let's just make sure that those hinges are reinforced.
Cost more money, though.
Yeah. Oh, no. I can't afford... Now I definitely can't afford my $1,500 7000 XTX.
Yeah, the $1,000 gaming handheld, the other one that INEO is also releasing. Yeah.
You know what? Fuck that, man. You joke. I want some clamshell design. I want some hinges on GPU so I can pop that cover off and clean the fans real easy.
That would be nice, though.
I want it.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I'm not wrong.
easily like modular like stuff where you don't have to like unscrew shit all the time. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I want it just barely held on with a magnet so the fans just fall out of it.
So that they spin a little too fast and they just take off.
Yeah, I can just bonk the top of the case. Man.
I want a strong enough magnet that it fucks all the mechanical drives in the system.
You open the case, the screws are bent towards it.
Yeah, your wallet on the other side of the room just starts like slowly inching towards the computer.
Of course, Eric Collis, we have ideas. So this, we talked about it on Wednesday. If you ever get a chance, come listen to us on weekly, daily Wednesdays. But I wanted to bring it up here, get your guys' thoughts on it, because it hits just the same. There's no battle, there's no war, there's no lines drawn in the mayonnaise, but we're at an interesting time where Waylon is the future, and it's only 9 years away at this point.
Well, according to Oro, she had a very big write-up, which she wasn't expecting that it would blow up quite as much as it did, but it did. So,
yeah, I got a reply on Mastodon from the person. They're like,
yes.
Thanks for... So we're talking about it again. Ha!
Yeah, the explosion. Anyway, I've been using Wayland almost exclusively ever since I got the 6700 XC. And I agree with a lot of the points that she makes. It's like, yes, Wayland is the future.
What's the title of this post again?
The title is Wayland Breaks Your Bad Software. Which, we'll get to that. says that Wayland is it. It is the future, and she quotes Markhan. And if you're going to quote someone to try and make a point and look good doing it, Markhan's probably the one to do it. She also quotes Joshi when it comes to basically talking about how... what is it? Fractional scaling? No, it wasn't the fractional scaling that she quoted Joshi. Which... HDR, the GameScope stuff. She quotes Joshi, and she quotes Joshi again for, what was it?
Here, Pedro, I have another quote from me from another guy. You might know him.
Pierre Loop Guru?
Yeah, and this is where I found out about it. I follow dude on Twitter, and he's like, you know what, platforms, they kind of don't break shit with your Wayland software. Wayland transition needs to keep breakage at zero, which is optimistic, but I still think is in the right heart. Anything we don't need to teach a generation of third-party developers never to target the Linux desktop ever again. And, you know, this is, imagine Windows 7, yeah. 8, 10, 11 with a DXGI breaks your bad GDI director all software. Like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although, to be fair...
isn't that right? Not true, right?
Hide the pain, Howard, baby.
Microsoft did pull some shenanigans with DirectX 12, and they wanted DirectX 12 to be the sole render API, but...
Microsoft has never broken user space ever at all.
Never, no. It's not like they wipe people's entire home partitions with a Windows 10 update. Mm-mm.
No, that was Mac.
But yeah, no. As someone who has been using Wayland, I absolutely get the sentiment. But as someone who enjoys video games, and that's one of the issues brought up, there are some games that just straight up don't support Wayland. Yes, if they're targeting SDL or if they don't target X specifically, you can probably make them work with Wayland easily enough.
What about fractional scaling?
Fractional scaling has... Fractional scaling is the thing that Wayland fixed. That was like the big one that Wayland already had working, and it still wasn't ever going to work on X until some very clever people found some workarounds. Yes, it was basically it had to be done at the desktop environment level because it's the display server itself just couldn't handle it. And yeah, outside of okay, if you have an NVIDIA card and you need XRender and you need a very specific XOR conf, I'm sorry, my condolences, but you're stuck on X for a while. And that's still valid. X will probably keep working for your use case for a long time. But fact of the matter is, Wayland does do a lot of things right. Yes, there's still stuff that's not there. You can use OpenRDP to do RDP remote desktop. You can use Waypipe instead of SSH-X. There's alternatives for things. It's just the X specific stuff that's never going to come. And Oro mentions that on the post specifically.
And like, here's the thing. I think Pierre's coming from a good place, but I think Mr. Loop Guru is catastrophizing quite a little bit. Because let's be real, most of the people who are producing Linux builds are doing so because their framework supports it, not because of any real desire to create Linux binaries. And as Oro says, if you're using STL or one of the myriad other tools like Unreal, Unity, Godot, who are often using STL. Now,
they said that, but could you quote how they said it?
No, because I don't have the thing right in front of me right now. But I'm gonna
use something like SDL and try not to interact with the display server directly. Yeah. And you get support for other display servers and can more easily port your software to other platforms in the process if that's what you're into.
Right. So again, getting back to my point, you know, your framework is often going to support all this stuff, so it's going to be a non-issue. And that's for the very, very minor percentage of folks who are actually producing Linux builds. Everyone else is, for everything else, there's MasterCard or Proton, baby. And I'll give to the anti-Wayland crowd, I'll give that, why not Wayland really needs to get their shit together. They've been working on that for a little too long. I know they want to get things.
Collabra's working on most of that, right?
Yeah. Collabra's working on that. They're starting to upstream stuff now, but like I kind of wish they maybe like had a bit more of a free flowing pipe as opposed to waiting to get everything up and running. But this is me backseat managing Collabra, right? Like I don't, who the fuck cares what I think. But the point is Proton exists for everything else. To Pedro's point, all those old games, they're not getting updated forever. And Proton is going to be the preservation mechanism that allows us to play them in the future. And at the end of the day, if you're on, I think what it boils down to is if you're on x86, X will do you just fine, but we're not just in an x86 world anymore. We got ARM, we got RISC-V, we have stuff that just doesn't play nice with how X is designed, and Wayland is designed with these kinds of architectures in mind. So,
and that was Markhan's point. That was like that, the whole quote at the start of the article is like, yeah, we can't use X for Asahi because it's just not going to work. We need something that's actually properly structured.
So this is eventually the Band-Aid's going to come off. This is just like the longest fucking hairiest Band-Aid we have to remove from one of our arms. It's coming eventually. I think we're moving in a direction where like now stuff like Synergy, now stuff like FreeRDP, screen sharing, all that. The big barrier
Synergy thing. I went ahead and blew a hole in that on Wednesday because that's bullshit. That was wrong. That's incorrect. You can go back and look at the notes. I can find you the GitHub issue from the creators because Barrier's no longer maintained anymore. There's another project.
Oh, really?
Yeah. From the creators of Barrier who were actively maintaining it. And there's a pull request.
What's it called now?
I can pull it up. Give me a second.
Because I thought Barrier was the new. Now I'm behind. So yeah.
Here, what we're going to do, everybody, is go over to linuxgamecast.com and...
click on the support button. Wait, no, that's not that part of the show.
Yeah, click it. What is it? Here we go. Input leap. Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, here's the open. But they're like, yo, stabilize. Like it still crashes, man.
But my point is work is being done. There's a lot of stuff aside
work's
from
being that, done. But what I'm very cautious of, and I went over this on Wednesday, is be very clear with what does work and what does not work. Because the worst thing you can do for Wayland adoption is lie to fucking people.
That's true,
intentionally or unintentionally.
And there is still the accessibility issue. They are adding more and more portals. But and again, to Oro's point, a lot of the stuff isn't necessarily Wayland's fault. It is X is a massive monolith that leaks information, and so everyone is able to pull that information, and it makes application development really, really, really easy because it's an insecure fucking nightmare land. So I don't know. We're moving in a direction. Hopefully, one day Wayland will take it over. I mean, I'm all pro Wayland. I'm still fucking sitting on X on NVIDIA because I'm not brave enough.
If you have an NVIDIA card, you probably should stay on X because if you want access to like the NVIDIA driver settings, that only works correctly on X. And all of the settings were made for X, so none of them actually do anything in Wayland anymore. NVK is coming. She does mention that NVK is coming.
Oh yeah, the whole use Nouveau thing. Yeah, that is a complete non-starter.
It, it literally just got to the point where it can reliably put things on screen. It's not good or performant in any way. Don't tell people to use that.
Right, yet. Right. Okay? And I mean that's the same thing. Even under X, when you see it, like just use the open source NVIDIA drivers. Like no, Linus.
You use that to download the closed source NVIDIA drivers and then have a working computer.
I brought this up multiple times. The hardest thing with X is you're up against good enough. And for like 90% more than that. Like most, we talked about that, I think, on Tuesday. We do Filthy Casuals. We race Trackmania 2. Come play with us. It's puzzle platforming. But in the after show, we're like, so what's everybody running? Because I knew we were going to talk about it on Wednesday. And I'm like, yeah, Waylon. Yeah, doing Waylon. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm on Waylon. Like, here, type this into your terminal. I'm like, oh, I'm running X. Huh, running X. Oh, me too. Running X. Like, people don't, nor should they even fucking care. Like, yeah. It should be that super transparent. And Waylon cylinder heavy development. Things for me, like, XFCE doesn't exist yet. Like, once that...
Well, I think we got to clarify, too. It's not necessarily Waylon. It's, like, the infrastructure that... It's all the supporting infrastructure that Waylon doesn't build in. It's the portal stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, Waylon... Waylon's
the catch-all, though. When I say Waylon, I'm talking to the people who are listening to the show. Like, oh, what's that? I'm like, it's the thing. You don't need to know the...
Yeah, because Waylon is not the graphical server in the same way that X is. Right. Waylon is just a set of protocols define a graphical server at the compositor level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think we do need to have that sort of caveat in place, right? Because otherwise things can kind of get lost in the weeds of, oh, this is a Waylon problem. It's like, no, it's not a Waylon problem. It is this facility, there's no facility to securely access this information.
Would this problem exist if Waylon didn't?
Yes, it would still exist because you can still grab all this information Waylon, in a secure manner, right? Like,
for a lot of the issues that I have, because I have a 144 hertz monitor and 260 hertz monitors with wildly different resolutions and wildly different everything, and setting per display refresh rate and per display scaling on X with NVIDIA. I needed that XORCON file, and it needed to be very, very specifically done, and I had that saved in a bunch of different places because I couldn't lose it. Otherwise, this setup wouldn't work. On AMD, on Waylon, it works out of the box. I can set this one at 144 hertz. I can enable and disable the variable refresh rate with a tick of a box, and the other two monitors don't even blink. Waylon does fix a lot of things. But there's a lot of stuff that doesn't work properly.
It's under heavy development, and that's cool, man. Like, you know, you should always keep in mind, though, you know, what's X been around for? 30 years now?
More, right?
1980s, we started, almost 40, yeah.
Yeah, we were saying that like 5 years ago, right. So it's been at least five years.
Let's just ballpark it at least 3 decades. And it's hacks built upon hacks built upon hacks because it's a 30-year-old piece of software. Now, Waylon's been around for like 15. You would say actively developed, like in any meaningful momentum, probably for about the past 5. 30 years from now, Waylon's going to be in the same spot. Because that's the life cycle of old software, is hacks upon hacks upon hacks.
I don't necessarily know about this, because this is at least being built in a more modular way than X.
And it has clear, like, defined rules of how everything is going to be implemented.
Optimism's a good thing.
It's been working for now. That's why we have like portals for everything, like Jordan mentioned.
But again, part of that is the hindsight of X. We we know now what we need because we had 30 years of nightmares trying to get this shit working on X. Like, wouldn't it be better if this was built this way?
But that's also thinking about like we're going to be dealing with the same type of technology. Like, far as like display technology is going to hopefully be radically different than it is today.
When you plug the HDMI cable in the back of your skull and you go into the matrix.
When you hook up the Laser 6 connection to the Hollow 4. Yeah. So you're like, oh, you don't know.
I got my eyes replaced with LG cyber eyes, and now I can just play video games in my brain.
Immediately followed by the downfall of human civilization.
Mr. Bato, get off the couch. No.
Dude, Like, whatever, there's no war. Use what you want. Like, no, nobody's, software-wise, I mean, that's up to you as a software developer, games developer. You want to break X, fuck around, find out.
You use the abstractions that are available.
You can break X very easily. X very easily.
People like Iculus has done a lot of work in SDL crew to make it pretty simple, where you don't have to worry about whether or not it's X, or where it's Waylon, or it's Apple, or it's Windows.
And again, to Pierre's point, that's where it should be. That's where the separation should be of like, hey, we've implemented all this stuff for you. Go use it. This conversation is really a moot point, because like, how many people are actually building their engines from scratch? This is shit that like Epic Games and Unity need to worry about, not like
Well, we're thinking 100% game. We're talking about application. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the abstraction is with like things with a widget toy, you know, like GTK and Qt. Mm. Oh.
Qt is multi-platform by default. GTK technically does work on Windows.
Which version of Qt?
At least four.
The public or the fuck you pay us money version?
I think they're all technically multi-platform. It's just whoever's going to pay just goes, nah, let's just use the quickly refreshing one because it's free.
Right. All right. If you could play in games with wine, you probably know about Proton, which also means that you know about DXVK.
We were just talking about Joshi 2 earlier.
Yes.
But yeah, DXVK 2.3, it's out. It has some cool stuff like support for VK EXT swap chain maintenance. There's a one at the end of that. That was the type.
No, that's correct. It needs the one.
Wow, then I guess I copied it properly. It allows you to disable VSync without some games eating shit when they change their present interval on a per frame basis. That's going to be nice because some folks don't want the VSyncs. A bunch of the options have been changed or have been consolidated. The DXGI full screen stuff, DXVK, D9VK stuff has all been merged into one option, so that's a little easier to manage. And there's better logic in this version for separating out stuff for different GPU vendor hardware solutions, i.e. for having a separate code path for XeSS versus DLSS, and so on and so forth. Which is always nice to have as these technologies continue to get adopted, and games continue to be worse and worse performing, requiring more and more driver intervention.
Yeah, and the thing that actually caught my eye was the VK KHR present wait is only triggered when the frame is actually being presented rather than when it finishes rendering, but before it's being presented. This caused some delay in, well, it's effectively input latency because you're already sending the input for a frame that you haven't even seen on screen, and that's already being taken into account, so this should reduce the perceived input latency if your game is using VSync and has support for that particular variable, which is very good, especially when you have a system with, say, a constrained battery life, and if you enable VSync, the battery lasts for a heck of a lot longer, so that's good. Less input latency on the deck, please.
And this has got a couple of fixes, like Total War, Palo Online, Far Cry 2, whatever racing room racing experience is, but that was important to somebody. And the
Tommy Wiseau's racer.
That will never die, The Sims 2.
People love that shit.
Somebody's playing The Sims 2, man. Titanfall and Tomb Raider Anniversary has some improvement.
And they fixed HDR for Elden Ring and a bunch of other games. All, if you're using the DXVK on Windows, that won't work. If you're using the DXVK on Windows 7 in order to be able to play Elden Ring, which is a DX12 game, that won't work. So keep that in mind.
Well, a game that definitely needs some HDR support is Amnesia, Pedro. Yeah. The Dark Descent. Look at that. See this? This is way too bright. I mean,
you can actually make out some detail.
Yeah, you can see the pattern on the carpet. That's unacceptable.
That's complete rubbish. Like, that's borderline unplayable. Might as well just go and play Mario Sunshine instead of this. So why are we talking about this? Well, this is kind of interesting. This is a rebuild of the graphics portion of the HPL2 engine with DirectX 12 for Windows and Vulkan for Linux, which my first thought is like, you know, you can use Vulkan on Windows too, right? But maybe somebody wanted to get some experience with DX12. Current features. Well, graphics backend rework, Forge. They've removed bookkeeping for the viewport size. Oh no, drop usage or OpenGL, that's good. Replace the existing SSAO implementation with HBAO. Neat. Fix the parallax occlusion mapping. Pretty cool. Random ideas. This is where it starts getting fun. Replace the Newton physics with Jolt. Okay. Mess around with ray tracing support with Vulkan and DirectX, also neat. Various collection improvements for the editor. Okay, all right, you got my attention as long as you include a rocket launcher.
Yeah, can you rocket jump in Amnesia? First person shooter. Yeah, it was like a proper shooter built with the Amnesia engine.
No joke. If you've ever played the game, go back and look at the video version of the screenshot that we put up. Like, if there's ever a game, I don't know if we necessarily need ray tracing, because how much darker do you want this damn game to get? Unless you're ray tracing that rocket launcher, then go right ahead. How dark? And Jordan's like, HDR, OLED. I just cut the monitor off you to get the same effect.
We got a Game of Thrones season 8, this shit, man. Like, completely indistinguishable from, the blackness.
Oh, man, it's always fun when you're playing an HDR and you try to jack up the contrast and... you have no power here.
we were joking about this in the pre-super shows about the Amnesia blindfolded speedrun.
We found
one guy. One he guy attempted. He tried.
Part one. He did a part one.
That was it. He tapped out. He's like, nope, we're good. I've always kind of kept my eye on, they open sourced this engine forever ago. Nobody's ever really did anything to it, which is usually a sign of bad documentation or just random why do I want to familiarize myself with this code base? I'll never use it for anything. And I said it when they released it. I was like, somebody put me, just give me a gun. Give me a gun. Take care of the zombie dogs in the beginning. But I was having some thoughts, a couple of things on this. Because I just want everything to be asymmetrical multiplayer now.
You got bit by the deadlight by daylight bug.
I'm just saying, man. Let's go back to the first one and let me try to get to the game. Well, there's a bunch of online zombie poppers where you can play as the zombie poppers coming after me and all that.
Zombie poppers.
Yeah, that hammer you're trying to defend yourself with.
I wonder how much
that
of
would
the
be
terror...
terrifying. That alien ain't got shit on those poppers.
I wonder how much of the terror would be undercut if every time the player jumped in Penumbra or Amnesia, he just went full on
Quake
Man
jumps
in there. Yeah. Just completely undercuts the terror. It's like spiders are crawling on your face.
Bunny hopping through the level.
Yeah. There's so many things to do, graphical improvements, go for it. Special place in our dark black hearts, because this is one of the old school modern generation of one of the first of what you would consider. Some of you Utes, after the fall of Loki and whatnot, this is part of our humble, that humble Linux open source cross-platform bundle. Holy shit.
Humble Indie Bundle 4? Or was it 3 as well? I think it was 4.
There was the Frozen Byte one wasn't a humble indie bundle, but it was in the middle of them, because they had that gave all the trines and stuff. And it was weird back then, because they had... Back when the humble indie bundle was a thing, and they're it's indie. This is the one with the Linux games.
I would like to just Scott has pointed out in Shot Realm that somebody is testing again on Amnesia. Good.
Yeah. Someone was working on that kind of mod.
I'm trying to figure out, is that a pistol or a shotgun? And in the case of the latter, can you do dual shotties in Amnesia?
Oh no. If you're gonna do that, we need bullet time.
No, Amnesia, but it's super hot.
Yeah, Max Payne, The Dark Descent.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, man. All right. Our last story.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. We got one last story. We got to talk about our good friend Ethan Lee, aka Flippity Jibba. Yeah, and he is. He has a new page on his website, and he is saying that he is offering a new service amongst the myriad of porting services he offers, and that is game preservation. Because, the game comes out, and after a couple of years, libraries that it's using are out of date, maybe a newer version of the OS that it was originally running on is out, and it isn't quite compatible because Windows 13 has decided that it is running fully in the cloud and only runs through ECMA script.
What are you on about? Windows 10 is the last version of Windows ever. Microsoft said so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Time goes on, and maybe you don't want to spend your effort as a game developer making sure that your game continues to run. Ethan's willing to do that for you, and he's willing to do that for you at a fairly low cost. And he offers this already as a service if you get a game ported by him. He'll basically keep your game up and running forever. And that's because he is a major contributor to SDL. And so all of this porting stuff that he does is basically, I take your game files, I recompile your engine, and then I copy your game files to the new thing, and that's it. It all works. And so he's offering to do that to you. He supports Linux, Windows, Intel Macs, because no one has given him a ARM Mac yet, original Xbox, and and the Nintendo Switch. And in addition to Steam Deck verification certification, moving away from UWP, migrating XNA tiles, FNA, and even doing public source code releases. We were just talking about how Amnesia mm-hmm. released their source code. Yep. If you are interested in doing that, Ethan will help you get that sorted out, and we'll do so in a way where your code is easily maintainable and supportable, and you're not going to be answering support tickets in the next 5 years from someone who's like, I tried to compile your game and it doesn't work anymore. Yeah, so all this to say, fucking hire this man. This guy has broken his back to make Linux gaming the thing that it is today, and I think he deserves your patronage.
So,
yes,
this does bring a couple of things. You know, definitely if you've been following the show for a long time, because that's how we used to get games. We had to wait for ports. And for, you know, no joke, Ryan C. Gordon was the Linux gaming industry for the better part of the aughts. He really was. And Flippid got in on the game about a decade ago.
He was just a kid, too. It was, like, right out of college.
Pretty young. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty young. He tried the school teaching, and he's like, nope. Went into this. Pretty good. Then we have companies like Feral. Then we had Aspire. And we just had to sit and wait. We had to sit and wait. Now, the reality we live in 2023, though, this is like, you got to take the good with the bad. Like, the bonus thing we've seen, and, you know, Wine's been there the entire time. But Valve launching Proton and making it that one play button, you know, Steam Decks, all these lovely things. One of the knock-on effects of that was the incentive to do a Linux native build. Almost non-existent right now. And even when you come up, and Jordan, you brought about, like, that's going to end up being our compatibility layer, which is going to be Wine. So, I was happy to see that Ethan's also offering Switch ports, because that's where Feral went, real quick. Like, within, I would say, the first 4 months of Proton being out, we saw Feral's like, hey, let's move down the line a little bit. Let's switch up our business model. And that's what Feral does. Feral doesn't do Linux. There's no money in it right now. But I still think there's probably a service with Switch, Xbox, and Mac. What do you guys think?
For sure. And Mac OS, definitely, especially the newer versions we mentioned many times during the show already. But yeah, the Switch and whatever console the Nintendo is going to release next is a very, very, very big market. So,
and again, like, this isn't some fucking Joe's Pudding Shop. Ethan has, like, proper infrastructure in place for, like, creating long-term maintainable ports. That's everything is based off of SDL, or if it's XNA based, he's using FNA, which mm-hmm. is what he has that under, like, a 15-second port now, because you run a script and your game
he
is
just
done.
Just drops,
like,
the files in. They're done.
Yeah, like, you will get a high quality result from this guy. So, like, for sure, consider this if you are
extremely sexy man to maintain your game.
And this
he's
is
so,
one of the times
he's so pretty.
Where
he's
I'll
like
go
way
ahead
too
and say, head over to linuxgamecast.com, find the show notes, or go to flibbityjibbityjibbityjibbybobo.com.
Yes.
Yes.
Now we need the Helox thing. We'll just redirect it there.
Flip it's the Helox.
Yeah. I offered to give Aspire the aspire.com domain, and they said no. So it's mine forever now.
Aw. This is the new forever home.
Yes.
All right. A little bit of hate mail this week. If you want to get in touch with us, I want you to head back over to linuxgamecast.com after you're doing that and heading over, taking a look at Ethan's stuff. Smash that contact button. If you want to come on the show, we'd love to do it. We had somebody, Pedro, sent us some keys for a video game earlier today, didn't we?
Yes.
We need to write them back and be like, hey, you know what would be even better? How about you come on and tell us about your video game? Because we'd love to have some developers, not marketing people. Not that against marketing people. If you're going to be a marketer, bring at least one developer, because we got questions.
We're come nerds. On show.
Talk about your crowdfunding campaign. Hey, if you got a working Linux, build more games for that. But if you just want to share your thoughts, hints, allegations, maybe things better left unsaid, I'd love to hear that. Select the right topic, smash that submit button, bam, and we might, just might, read it right here on this show. You can also leave a comment on Patreon or on the YouTube video. Does that sound legit? Yeah.
Sounds good. This is from Leon, possibly the professional. And he says, when reviewing Empty Clip 2.0, LGC...
What do you think Hollywood's going to get desperate enough to make a sequel to Leon the Professional?
They got to wait until Harvey Weinstein gets out of prison, I guess. I don't know.
Possibly, yeah.
While reviewing Empty Clip 2.0 LGC 564, you complained about the strange controls. Well, I'm here to defend ESDF. It gives you access to more keys than WASD, while also allowing for more convenient finger positioning. Your index finger goes on the F key, which has that little bump so you don't need to look down to know that you're in the right place. I bet if you give it a chance, it won't take long to retrain your muscle memory, and you'll never look back. Read more about our Lord and Savior on httpuseesdf.org. Let's agree that the real crime here is the dev forcing a choice on its users. No settings for you may be a strategy that works on a console, but PC gamers, especially those on Linux, expect some more customization. I think that's a fair enough point.
Yeah.
That's some GeoCities, baby.
Hang on, we got testimonials.
That is a real website. Okay, no, fine. You know, I didn't copy that to check if it was a real website or not.
Yes. Hang on.
I have a counterpoint to the counterpoint.
All right.
Which is, what about people who don't even use WASD or any of the keys on that particular side of the keyboard unless they're actually typing? What about people like myself, you know,
who IJKL. Use the...
I mean, I'm trying to do a little bit of research here.
I see what you did there.
See if it matches up with one.
Oh, it turns out the Zodiac Killer was just using Dvorak the entire time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, no, people like myself who have a limited range of finesse in one of his hands, so I use my right hand on the directional arrows on the right side of the keyboard, and I use, you know, Control-Shift, Enter sometimes, and 0, 1, 4, and 7, along with page down and then delete, because those are the keys that are around the directional arrows, and everything else is mapped to the mouse. That's also why I have an 11-button mouse.
why don't you use home, delete, end, and page down for movement?
Too easy.
No, quite the opposite, actually, because I don't have fingers, so I have... to basically use
home, delete, end, page down, the things above your...
No, I have to use my half a thumb to basically go up or down and then roll to go left or right. And if I have other keys where my thumb would roll, I would press that key accidentally. That's why I like to use the directional arrows, because there are no... keys immediately next to them. They're significantly far away that I can move with accuracy without hitting keys that I don't mean to.
I think Katana Steel has the best point. If you're not navigating using the arrow keys on the numpad 8, 4, 6, and 2, you're a psychopath.
Oh, you could get one of those old
No, that's this is why I have a wireless number pad, because I use that for my toes.
Just play it all Descent style, baby. 60 OF.
Dude, that's how we used to have to roll back in the day. It's like, hey, you make do. I mean, life finds a way, even if you use like Quartz or AN. I'm on some website now with like a million made up.
Yeah, like.
Dude, there's stuff in here that you've just like, what? Now you're just making stuff up.
I'm sure the designers of those keyboard layouts were actively fucking with us. Like, they're just like, man, someone's going to actually install this on their fucking computer.
Yeah.
This is hilarious.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the Neo, 2004, and
in W. Neo Ouster, Neo Velt.
Vorax style.
Homework of the day. If you use a non-QWERTY keyboard layout, send us some fucking hate mail.
Oh, and you're willing to prove that you can do a typing test with one too, because a bunch of people are like, sure, I used the Vorax. Yeah. I was like, you should show me 35 words per minute.
Yeah, people who game on Dvorak, have what do you do? What's the thing, right?
Like, well, you see, I've always thought about it. I think we all did it. Like, you know, the first time in your young life, you're like, what is this alternate Dvorak keyboard thing? Oh, we should learn that. But then you immediately thought, like, I might have to use another keyboard. That's not the Dvorak keyboard. So that would be confusing. So
I got reverse trolled by my friend because I did too good a job convincing him that Dvorak was the superior layout, mm-hmm. that he actually adopted it, and now I can't use his computer anymore because I don't know how to use Dvorak.
You know, there is something to be said for that, though, isn't there?
Right. That is an added layer of security. It's like...
You know what? I always register white elephant gifts for Christmas time. It was like, Dvorak keyboards.
Yes.
Might be a thing.
Welded Dvorak keyboard, so you can't even like change the keycaps out.
Yeah, no. The homework for next week is: what is your key combination to switch from Dvorak to back to the sensible layout?
And what is it different on Dvorak and QWERTY, or is it the same? And what is it?
Go for it. Send us your thoughts and keys. Give us those keybs.
Send us some game keys just for fun.
Why don't I still want like a legitimate ow as I smack myself on my glass desk. Yeah, I want that flat piece of glass multi-touch that I can just swipe and like work on as a keyboard.
I always wanted to try like the Leap motion gesture stuff. I know they've made some like advances on that. They have like the Leap 2 now.
Mm. Yeah, I just want that. You know, basically what you do on, you know, your mobile. Like, I want that keyboard experience, but I want it embiggened for the desktop. Like, give me 10-point touch. Let me go ham with it. Let me customize the hell out of it.
I'm just do you want swipe for a desktop?
Fuck yeah. I never use it, but it better be there, man.
Like, yeah, because swipe is useful if you're just using your thumb and you go there.
I'll mess you up in racing games all of a sudden. I'm like,
oh yeah, you're swipe in Quake or some shit.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hey, we want to thank you for making this show possible. If you want to thank us for making this show possible, smash that support button, fam. We got a bunch of different ways to help us out. If you can just share the show, tell some people about it. Don't tell cats about it, because cats are just ornery as fuck. And we don't really, I'm just saying, man. But, you know, we got Patreon, we got LibrePay, we got the PayPals, we got the crypto bits, and we got Amazon wishlists. You want to pick up something for the show, for the studio, for the Jordan, for the Pedro, for the Jill, make sure you include a note so we can read it aloud on the air. Amazon storefront, if you're looking for things like what I held up at the beginning of the show, there it is. A little cheap. How much was it? $12. Yeah, if you're looking for it for me. Yeah. You don't have to buy it on Amazon, just buy it anywhere, just if you're curious about what's in the show. And of course, we get our merch store and Humble affiliate. I do want to thank this week, which is kind of weird. I was like, what is this?
Get the random email from PayPal.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm like,
why are you emailing me, PayPal? What's wrong?
Which, it's because PayPal's done a bunch of policy changes over the past like 2 weeks. I'm like, what is it now? Like, what other feature are you ripping away? No, Holger sent in a PayPal donation.
Hey, thank you so much.
I was like, oh, cool. That's dope as fuck. Thank you for your support. Always, you can sub to us on Twitch. If you want to come play with us on Tuesdays and Fridays, you want to do the Shrek Mania thing, use your Bezo bucks, sub with Twitch, hook up our Discord, come check it out. It's like doing it for free. You don't get any ads on our channel. Pedro is not doing that because I meant to say Jordan. I get you too Jordan. Confused.
Pordro. The combination of it's like if Pedro and I do the fusion dance, it's like
Well, and now I'm upset. I was like, I should have handled that better. I should have been like, and now Pedro's gonna tell you what Jordan does. On Thursdays.
Jordan's streams on Thursdays. Lately, he's been doing Baldur's Gate 3 with MT.
Yeah.
Possibly Beastwick 2. We got two more slots open.
See, so. I health my tongue at one of these Beastwicks. Like, you got room for one, and I wanted to type him like, you're not gonna show, you ain't gonna show up. And then Jordan was like, yeah, you don't show up, buddies.
Yeah. He was warned, man. I don't know. He's more than welcome to
everybody,
show up.
Yeah, everybody's welcome. It's not an airport though, you know. You don't like have to
You gotta show up like 15 minutes early. That's it, right? Like,
yeah,
don't show up the time that your plane is leaving.
Preparation,
because,
yes.
Yeah.
Just a little heads up, and yeah, have fun watching that. All right, everyone, we're going to cue some music and call it a show. If you want to get in touch with us, well, how do you get in touch with me? Very easily. If you can catch me, I'm like a dirty pair of socks ripping off through your living room. You can get your hands on me. Still on the Zitter. You can find me there at Vinstone. We have a federated timeline, mass.linuxemcast.com. You can always leave a comment anywhere we have things going on. As you know, if you're a beautiful party patron, you can holler at me in our Discord, or if you're on IRC, that's all linked together, so I'll find you there as well.
Well, I'm Jordan. You can find me on the internet by typing into your QuizZerty keyboard, x.com or twitter.com or mass.linuxgamecast.com. I'm at Frojo at mass.linuxgamecast.com and at Burning Fool on whatever the fuck Elon's calling it now.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say anything because I'm still using the native Portuguese keyboard layout. So you can find me on Mastodon, mass.linuxgamecast.com. I'm at unaccounted four with the actual number four at the end. So shout at me there.
I just want to like light up God Save the Queen during that with your Portuguese keyboard layout.
But she dead though.
That was some credits. What if I hit the right button?
No, give us more money.
Shut up.
Let me see that throne. That weird blue makeup. Oh my god. I gotta say though, the actress who plays Hera, the green chick, those pants make her ass look amazing. We gotta thank our advisors, Omegas, Arthur, and our executive producers, Barb Bram, Scott Michaud, Tom Cass, Mike G, Drummer, Tomas, Hakim, David, E. Shep, and Ian, and our Little Nicky fans with also amazing asses, Super Deathstone, Empty, Glorious Eggroll, Blasphemia, and Nubbin.
And Renault, Rider X, Mac, and Trudgy, Veritanuda, Justin, Nubbin, Darkwing, System G, Dunsing Joe, Ogi One, and Kyrilla, making up the sea monsters. With the Death Notes now so very tiny. Incredible. Thank you all so much, like Jalo and Piper. And Aromatic Dev.
Tim. Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, New Maldonis, Aldius, Noctilus, Johnny, Ship, Gamertron, Unoid, DS, and Joe, Aromatic Dev, and Kai Jory. Thank you for picking up stuff for our little Linux.
You are all truly wonderful.
Now. Very sexy asses, all of you. Full cheek.
Calm down, Vader.
Your booty is mine.
Dino Fire, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Five dudes.